In the early 1980s, a poll was taken in Great Britain to determine who were the most admired people in the kingdom. When the ballots were counted, the top three winners were Queen Elizabeth, Margaret Thatcher, and E.P. Thompson. Thompson was known as one of England's foremost historians and social critics, but it was his leadership role in the British nuclear disarmament movement that brought him popular acclaim. Over the past two decades, there were rumors that Thompson was writing a book on the poet William Blake. E.P. Thompson died this past August, and his Blake book, called Witness Against the Beast, has just been published posthumously. Maureen Corrigan has a review.
Back when I was an earnest undergraduate, I took a voluntary tutorial in the poetry of William Blake. Once a week, a few other lost souls and I would meet with a professor and try to unravel the poetic hairballs of Blake's prophecies, like the Four Zoas and America. I always remembered that professor's parting words on the day the tutorial ended. "Don't worry anymore about Blake," he said. "Blake's a lunatic." Well, that's one theory, but it leaves a lot unexplained, like the radiant power of Blake's engravings and the glimmerings of bitter social criticism you can spot in easier poems like the Songs of Innocence and Experience. So I was thrilled when I heard E.P. Thompson's book on Blake was finally out. I'd read Thompson's first book on William Morris, so I knew he had an affinity for utopian thinkers. I also knew from Thompson's monumental book, The Making of the English Working Class, that he was a great stylist with an intimate knowledge of 18th and 19th century English social history. If anybody could plant Blake in the real world, Thompson could. This past weekend, with my cable TV on the blink and my answering machine on the alert, I transported myself, with Thompson's help, into Blake's London. And when I finished Witness Against the Beast, I had learned one crucial thing. By our standards, William Blake was indeed a lunatic, but so were many of his contemporaries. As Thompson describes it, 18th century London was weirder than any place David Lynch could ever dream up. On virtually every corner, storefront mystics hawked their own popular forms of Christianity. There were Anabaptists, ranters, Brownists, Adamnists, Seekers, and the Children of the New Birth. Some of these beyond-the-fringe congregations worshipped in the nude. Others preached the gospel of free love. These are the kind of people Thompson recognized as history's losers. The people he was always determined to save from what he called the enormous condescension of posterity. Thompson's aim here is to show how Blake's mind was formed by this dissenting Christian tradition, and by one mysterious sect in particular, the Muggletonians. The Muggletonians met in London pubs where they sang divine songs, denounced reason as a satanic principle, and forged a politics hostile to the emerging market economy. Thompson breaks with generations of Blake scholars when he claims that Blake owes as much to the Muggletonians as he does to Milton. And Thompson warns us that if we continue to embalm Blake in an academic mortuary, we don't have a prayer of understanding his work. I won't mislead you. Witness Against the Beast is accessible, but it's also scholarly. You won't enjoy it unless you already care about Blake or you're curious about 18th century dissenting religions. But Thompson implies that one of our most serious mistakes as modern readers is that we only want to know about the familiar. Anything we can't familiarize, we label bad or bizarre. Like Blake, E.P. Thompson also bore witness against the bestiality of his age. In his last book, Thompson once again retrieves from the embers of history's fire the strange, the subversive, and the sublime.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Witness Against the Beast by E.P. Thompson.